So we're just going to relax and breathe. Breathing into our heart space. Just a couple of slow, deep breaths taking us to that beautiful place of peace that underlies all of the activity. Feeling the energy, feeling the love, feeling the light and the harmony and the joy that is Source, that is our inner being, that is ever present in every single moment of all of time, in every single atom of all of space. That divine energy, that divine life is the truth of who we are. And Abraham is ever trying to get us to connect and be in alignment with that powerful and beautiful energy of Source. I know that grace, that upliftment, that joy that Abraham brings to us is powerful and wonderful. And yesterday, the quote that captured my attention was on the subject of vaccine discrimination. And the questioner said, "Can you offer some soothing words? Your weekly broadcasts have provided so much clarity, and I appreciate knowing that I must do me and feel the best I can. And it's mostly easy to feel love and joy and smile and be happy. But Abraham, what's going on with the vaccination? There are no words without going to the lowest end of the emotional scale. For those of us who've made the decision not to take the vaccination, it's troubling that freedoms are being taken away. I know that everyone gets to decide for themselves to take it or not take it. And I've made my decision not to take it, based on what feels best for me. The very thought of having the vaccination brings my feelings to the lowest part of the emotional scale. The choice to not vaccinate has been easy because it feels good to be in charge of my own body. But I also feel this is not the easy part. It's a huge step one moment in the history of mankind. People's freedoms are slipping away. Can you offer any insight?" And Abraham said, your conclusion, first of all, we applaud you in your decision. And we think it's wonderful to stick to your guns. And we're not trying to get you to take the vaccination. Esther took it with happiness. But we don't tell you that because we think you should. We don't think you should, feeling the way you are feeling. We don't think you should do anything that feels the way you are describing. We want to put some of this in perspective, however. Not because we're encouraging you to ever do anything, but in order to understand. You know what we were talking about earlier? We're going to go a little overtime here. Get ready. We were talking earlier about this mix, this blend of contrast and what it produces in you and the new that it gives birth to, and you're coming into alignment with it. Because as eternal beings, there is constant evolution. And so now don't misunderstand, we're not trying to get you to take the vaccination. Understand that most of all, in this conversation. But there is something rich in here that your question just happens to uncover that we want you to consider softly. Some years ago, some of you aren't old enough to remember, but Esther remembers it well. The law about seat belts happened. And Esther felt about it the way you feel. She and Jerry didn't wear their seat belts. They found a way to avoid it, buckled them into themselves and sat on them for a while. Jerry even cut them out of one of the cars. Then he discovered a contraption where he could hold it apart. Eventually, the attention on it softened. They just didn't find it to be the limitation to their freedom that they had once decided that it was. It faded into the background as a non-issue. Now, we're not saying let people take your freedom and cope with it. We're saying that what binds you is resistance, and pushing against is the greatest thing of that. Now, we know you're fighting with us in your mind. Some of you with your words, don't throw heavy things. We get why this is hard to hear. But stay with us just a little bit. Esther got so she leaned into a seatbelt, especially when she got her Audi R8. She buckled up and tightened it and drove fast and enjoyed the control she was able to maintain in her car because of the inertia. The car was moving her about and the seatbelt helped her stay in a practical place in relationship to the controls of the car. Esther remembers that after 9/11, she was flying a lot, 2 or 3, sometimes 4 times a week. And suddenly, if they wanted to fly, they were required to take off their shoes. Ugh! And it was particularly difficult for them because they were going to do seminars and they had bags full of electronics, and the electronics all had to be taken out of the bags and examined. Esther had just purchased the most beautiful jar of face cream she'd ever had in her life, and they took it away from her. It was too many ounces of something unknown to them, and they threw it in a big barrel with hundreds of other items that they'd confiscated from other people. And Esther felt that rage you are describing, the feeling of being out of control in her own life. Now, this is where the merging with intentions come in. They wanted to get on an airplane because they wanted to be where you are. And being where you are was top half of the scale. They wanted to get on an airplane because they wanted to travel efficiently. And getting there fast was top half of the scale. And so what kept happening is in each situation, there were more top half of the scale things than bottom half of the scale things. And then I paraphrase this part. Abraham told a story of some scissors that Esther carried in her purse that Jerry called skizzers and used to play a game with Kate. And they had a lot of fun with it and a lot of laughter. So after Jerry made his transition, Esther had her scissors in her carry-on bag, and the TSA people took them and were going to confiscate them. Esther said, "Oh, you cannot take them. I'll find another way. I will check this bag." But oh, checking the bag was not pleasing to her. It had other electronics in it that felt precious. It had money and jewelry in it. It had things that she worried about from the lower half of the scale. You might break my computer, you might steal my money or my jewelry. But from the upper half of the scale, I love these scissors and I want to keep them with me. And the path of least resistance is to put them in the bag and let you put it underneath the airplane. Because I want these scissors in my life because they're meaningful to me, because they're precious to me, because Jerry and Kate had so much fun with them. The other day, after months of not laying eyes on those scissors, Esther was in San Antonio and opened a drawer and there they were. And she picked them up and said, "There you are." She didn't say, "I missed you." She just appreciated them. Upper half of the scale. We're not saying to you that you can give away your freedoms and like it. We're saying to you that you are giving away your freedoms in ways you don't even know. I'm going to repeat that sentence because it's very powerful. We're saying to you that you are giving away your freedoms in ways you don't even know. Every time you push against anything, you give away the freedom of alignment with who you are. This isn't about what you do or don't do. And then they told another story about how Esther loves basketball and that her seat at the stadium had been empty during the pandemic. But the teams found a way, a path of least resistance, a bubble. And Esther's been able to get back and go to her basketball games that she loves. But in the meantime, she noticed that the basketball players were vaccinated. They are the ones who care most about their physical apparatus. And Abraham went on, those who eat well and think well and thrive. She saw them figure out a way to do what they do differently than they've done it before. As millions of you are doing now, as you're flying with those TSA restrictions still in place after 20 years. We get it. You can call this some lack of freedom, but there's so much more evolution and expansion in the decisions that you're making. And so all that we are encouraging is that you line up with taking it and take it, or that you line up with not taking it and don't take it. But don't decide not to take it and push against. And don't decide to take it and push against, because it's the pushing against that takes your freedom and your well-being and your joy. That was a big one, Abraham said. They went almost 15 minutes overtime for that yesterday. So what's Abraham saying? Abraham's saying is that freedom is alignment, and that alignment is freedom. And that as we move into the place of alignment, we have the opportunity to do what we want to do, that we feel good about. And it's not about what we do. It's about how we feel and whether or not we are in alignment with how we feel. And so I was really excited about that. That is just such a lovely, lovely expression. And in the other half of what I transcribed yesterday, Abraham described a new game, and I don't have that. That's the part that didn't print, most of it, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not going to try to read it to you. But let me tell you the story. Abraham taught a game in the past where they talked about blue glass and feathers and butterflies, and recommended that people look for wonderful light, things that they're not resistant about, that they don't care that much about, just something pleasant, and invite it into their lives. But the new game that was suggested instead of that game is simply to look into the world for places and people and conversations that feel like the top half of the scale. Look for appreciation, look for joy, look for clarity, look for ease. And they described Esther sitting on an airplane, sitting next to a woman. And there were three of them in the row, and the husband was on the window seat, and Esther was on the aisle seat, and the lady was in the middle. And Abraham said, that lady was in the upper half of the scale the entire time. And Esther closed her eyes and eavesdropped, because it was such a joy to listen to this woman. And Abraham said a couple of times he slipped into the lower half of the scale, and she very gently was able to ease him back up. And so they said they're not asking us to look for conditions that make us feel good. They're asking us to focus on appreciation and love and joy, and that will bring things. And they said, we know you're going to find things in surprising places because you're looking for them. And so when I was at the park this morning, I was looking for things to appreciate. And I do that every morning, but I was doing it even more pointedly this morning. And the first thing I saw when I got out of the car was a family who was there with a photographer getting their picture taken. And the little girl was wearing a beautiful white eyelet lace sort of princess dress. She was little and stunning. She looked fabulous. And when the family walked out, I realized the mom was really pregnant. And they were having a family portrait done with the little girl and the baby-to-be and the handsome husband and the beautiful wife. And they were so gorgeous. And the photographer was so excited to be taking pictures of such a beautiful family. And it just made my heart sing to look at them. It was so fun. And then I looked around, and there on the top of a pole, I haven't left the parking lot yet, on the top of the pole by the wires, there's a bluebird family and three baby bluebirds waiting at the top. And the mother bluebird had learned to dive bomb cicadas in the air and grab them out of the air and take them to the the very demanding baby bluebirds. And I thought, here is another family. I appreciated a family, and I immediately attracted another family. So we only have a few minutes left. It's 2:22. I always love that. And so let's appreciate multiple numbers. Many of us love it when it's 11:11 or 2:22 or 3:33. Let's appreciate numbers. Think of something to appreciate about numbers. My mother's birthday was this week, and my brother pointed out that this week would have been my mother's 99th birthday. A wonderful double number. And while we're appreciating numbers, let's appreciate science. Appreciating the various things that come to us. I saw an article today about how they're tracking the migration of birds with satellites now. Things continue to evolve and expand. And as Abraham was talking about, when we think of these subjects, there may be a bottom half of the scale that we could tap into, but our intention is to tap into the top half and allow the mix to work for us, to bring us more to see, more to surprise and delight us. Let's think about love. Where in your life Can you see love unfolding? Perhaps it's family members, maybe it's friends, maybe it's places, maybe it's experiences. For me, it's often birds these days. The universe is busy bringing us more of what we love as we focus on love. Let's appreciate our senses. Perhaps you're a visual person or an auditory person. Perhaps you're all about taste and smell or touch. Think about the things to do with your senses that delight you. There is no end to possibilities. Right before I came here, I saw pictures of Lake Tahoe where I have never been. And this Abraham friend said, "I've never seen such a beautiful place. I want to move here." And I know for sure he's been all over the world. Think of all of the incredible places that would surprise and delight us if we were to go there. Think of the things on your bucket list that relate to experiences and places and opportunities. We could play this game forever. Think of the things on your emotional bucket list. I so often appreciate that David and Alyssa gave me that concept, because there are so many wonderful feelings on my emotional bucket list. And think about being spellbound or fascinated. Think about things that feel magical. Think about things that feel relaxing. Think about things that feel like joy. As we spend our time focused on these feelings that are in alignment with our inner being, the law of attraction brings us more in alignment. And that's the leverage. Abraham talked a lot about leverage yesterday. Being in alignment with our inner being is the leverage that creates worlds. and I am so grateful to know this. I am so grateful to Abraham for all of these amazing teachings and for continuing to uplift the message, to inspire and delight us. And so we only have a few seconds left in the meditation, and I know that you could take this and continue it for a long period of time through your day, through your days, that we can have this experience of positive aspects one moment after another all day long with a little bit mixed in of step one moments and move back into appreciation and joy. I know that it is good for us to breathe and relax and find our balance once again as we return our attention to the moment. I give thanks for friends to play with like this, and so it is.